Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the New Testament book of James. James chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. And I want to ask you a question while you're turning there. I shared with you this morning about what one person can impact in the world. Have you ever seriously thought about what impact your one personal life has already done in the world? I don't know if you ever see the movie, and during a Christmas time, It's a Wonderful Life, but it's the story of George Banks, and he gets to the point that he wishes he had never been born. And then there's supposedly in the story an angel that shows to him what life would have been like had he never been born. Has it ever dawned on you how things would be different had you not come onto the scene, and what your one life really does make a difference? Tonight I want to deal with, for the next few moments, the power of one godly life. And I want to look in James chapter 5, but I want to glean from Scripture tonight, just use some individuals where their one life changed the world they were in. The Bible says these words: "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Now listen to James talk about Elijah. "Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." Whenever you read this one passage of Scripture, James is simply saying to you and me, he said, if you will take time to stop and realize the power of your life, you might well be amazed, you might well be astonished. And so all throughout Scripture, you know, there's a lot of folks who say this, you know, and you've heard it as well as I have. Well, you know, I'm just one, what can I do? You hear that all the time. You hear it from people around you in your circle, and they say, well, you know, I don't know what good my situation's going to do, or I don't know how I can help the world. Or when it comes to election time, they will say something like this: I don't know what difference my vote is going to make. Matter of fact, I had a young man who came up to me, and he said, you know what, I'm just not convinced that voting is necessary. And he said, it's not been proven to me yet. Well, that aside, I want you to notice some things in Scripture, because, and if you have a pencil and a piece of paper, you need to write some of these down, and I want to encourage you to look over these. Because the Bible says over and over and over again, in the midst of the world that you and I are living in, where so many people are saying that my one life doesn't really make a great deal of difference, God says completely different, and he gives you individual after individual after individual in Scripture to look at. And if you'll turn back to the book of Genesis, first of all, let's look at Elijah's life first. You know, the Bible said Elijah's godly life closed and opened God's heaven with rain. If you go back to 1 Kings chapter 17, you can just jot it down. The Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, and said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before thee whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Do you know what Elijah realized? Elijah realized that he was the servant of God, and he took his personal life seriously. You know, Elijah was appointed as a prophet of God, and you know about that. But here's what Elijah knew. Elijah knew that as a man of God, God listened to him. As a matter of fact, you know, the Bible makes it clear, Elijah's godly life and his godly prayer literally closed heaven. Now think about this. It wasn't a group of people that prayed. It wasn't a number of people. Elijah said, James said about Elijah, this one man prayed, and the Bible says the God of heaven closed heaven because he asked of God. That is sobering to think that you and I can have that much power with Holy God. But that is the word of Scripture. That is the truth of Scripture. You see, being a godly person doesn't mean you're perfect. Being a godly person means you're trying to be, means you're serious when you sin, means you're serious about confessing your sin, means you're serious when you see yourself in some situation and you know you need to be careful and you need to guard yourself because you are concerned about your life. And so the Bible makes it very clear. Here is Elijah, the Tishbite, the Bible says, and the Bible says that he prayed earnestly. He prayed seriously. He prayed fervently. And the term means there was, it was of utmost seriousness to him. The Bible says that he cried unto God and God heard him. But you and I shouldn't be surprised about that. The Bible says, and you can jot this passage of scripture down. You don't have to turn there. Jeremiah 33:3 says it this way. You call unto me and I will answer thee. And I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. In other words, God said through Jeremiah, when there is a people of God that is willing to call out to God, willing to cry out to God, willing to petition God earnestly, fervently, God is going to be serious. If there's one thing the devil wants to do to you about your life is lead you to believe God does not take you serious. And so there's no need to pray. There's no need to ask him. There's no need to talk to him about the different things that's on your heart and mind. But James said, God said, one man had power with God. Why? Because he yearned to walk holy with God. And so the Bible makes it very clear. Elijah's godly life opened and closed the very storehouse of God's heaven when it came to rain. You know, Bible says in Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Now, what does that mean? If Elijah's life was serious before God, if your life is serious before God, if Elijah desired to walk godly, if you desire to walk godly, there are going to be the same effects, folks, because God cannot change his nature, his ways, and his being. It violates the eternal nature of God to change. Literally, the Bible says it is impossible for God to change. You and I don't know what it is not to change. We live in a changing world. It's changing every second. But God says about himself, I change not. So the Bible says Elijah's life shut heaven. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, Noah's godly life saved mankind from destruction. Genesis chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, listen to it. And the Lord God said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repents me. In other words, I've changed my mind that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible says in these three verses, there was one man in the very early days of this world. There was one man when the world was going wild, when the world was living wild, when the world was, I mean, it was a wild world in Noah's time. God said it was. He said, listen, he said the minds, the imaginations of man was evil. There wasn't 50 righteous people. There wasn't 100 righteous people. There was a lot of people probably religious. But the Bible says there was one man who found grace in the sight of God. What that literally means is there was one man that God looked at in the midst of humanity who was striving to walk with God. People weren't obeying God, but that was not Noah's situation. People were disobeying God, but that was not Noah. People were doing whatever they wanted to, but that wasn't Noah's life. And you see, here's the reality. In the life of Noah, Noah realized, and because I'm sure God made it very clear to him, that his single, solitary, righteous life saved the earth from destruction. Now, you can think whatever you want to think, or you can believe whatever you want to believe, but you always need to go back and make sure, is your belief scripture? The Bible does not even say there is, well, you know, Noah's life was righteous, doesn't say a great deal about his family, but I'm sure they watched his life, and there was something about them because of his righteous life. But the Bible says that Noah's righteous life, one person, he found favor in the sight of God. And the word favor is very significant in the Old Testament. It's the idea that you please the king. It's the idea that here is a king who's looking at your life and there's either disfavor or there's favor. And the Bible makes it clear that our God is the King of Kings. And he looked at the life of Noah, and the Bible says God did what was necessary to rescue Noah and to rescue his family, but everybody else perished. It ought to be a big deal in your life because, again, God says he changes not. It ought to be a big deal in your life to be seriously obedient because you and I can be the same way. Now, God probably won't give you an assignment to build a ship, to build a boat, to build an ark. But the reality is this. If you're a young person, your righteous life matters to God. It is something to stop and think. Now, I want to say this to young people, those of us that are 40 and under. Now, those of you that are 20, do you stop and realize that your single, solitary life, you may say, well, Pastor, I've only been saved for 2 or 3 years. But if you will make it your business to walk right with God, God will listen from heaven to your prayer. That is what he says in his word. Imagine having the ability to affect change, being on your knees and saying, Lord God, I pray for my brother. I pray for my dad. I pray for my mom that they'd come to Christ. But you know what we do? A lot of times, we just say, well, I just don't know if it'll happen in our day and time. Listen to me very carefully. It violates the nature of God to change. You hear me say that all the time. Why do I say that? Because all the ways of God are consistently the same from eternity to eternity. He never changes. And when he finds a righteous man, he will move heaven and earth for that man or that woman. You know, when you look back at some of our forefathers and some of the testimony, I just happened to look up some of the presidents and what happened in their life and their walk. And it's interesting, I found this piece of information. Robert Lewis of Fredericksburg, Virginia, was George Washington's private secretary. During the first part of the presidency, he said he accidentally witnessed Washington's private devotions. He said he experienced them both morning and evening. He said, here's what he saw. He said, I saw him kneeling in a kneeling posture with an open Bible before him. He said that he believed such was his daily practice. His custom was to go to his library at 4 o'clock in the morning for devotions. Now listen to me real carefully. A lot of people say, well, I just don't know. But God will honor that man or that woman who chooses to be godly. And you see, that's exactly the case of Noah. That was the case of Elijah. But thirdly, that was the case of Joseph in Genesis 41. The Bible says these words in chapter 41, verse 17. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came out the river 7 kind, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in the middle. And behold, 7 other kind came up after them, poor and ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kind did eat up the first seven fat kind. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them. But they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I woke, and I saw in my dream, and behold, 7 ears came in one stalk, full and good. And behold, 7 ears, withered thin, blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the 7 good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. Watch this. There was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he's about to do. Now, let me give you the backdrop of what's happened. Joseph has been stuck in prison. Joseph has been obedient to God, but he's been accused of sexual misconduct. He's been accused of raping Potiphar's wife. And all of a sudden, the Pharaoh has him put in prison where the captain of the guard's prisoners are kept. And while he's in prison, God gives Pharaoh a dream. God's given Pharaoh a dream about what's getting ready to happen in the land. God is telling the leader what he's getting ready to do in the nation. And in that dream, there's going to be 7 years of feast, and there's going to be 7 years of plenty, and there's going to be 7 years of famine. But here's what I want you to see tonight. God raised up one man who wouldn't bow to anything or to anybody but the living God, and God used him to rescue a nation from famine, from death, from sickness, from malnutrition, because God had placed Joseph where he wanted Joseph to be. Why? Because it was a big deal in the heart of Joseph to obey the living God. You hear me say it more and more and more and more, and I say it deliberately. When it is a big deal to any man, to any woman, to any boy, to any girl, to obey the living God, you will have heaven listening to you. That's simply the way it is. There is no, listen, there's no gimmicks. God doesn't use anything. He looks for an obedient life. And when you look at the life of Joseph, here's Joseph. He's just one man. And yet God raised him up, and you read the life of Joseph. It's Genesis 37 through 50. And I heard one of the greatest preachers that's preaching in our day and time, Dr. Charles Stanley. He said, with the exception of our Lord Jesus, God has used Joseph to his life to make such a difference. And here's why. He started young. Listen, there's the belief by a lot of young people, my life's not that important. That is absolutely not the truth. You are important to God as a 10, 11, 12, 15, 18, 21-year-old. God has a purpose and a plan. But here's the reality. You've got to understand that you as one person can make a difference in the world. God used Joseph, and God reminded Joseph. As Joseph got to the end of his life, he could look back and he could see how God had used his life to save a nation. Just one man, just one person. He wouldn't give in to temptation. He wouldn't give in to the seductions of Potiphar's wife. She tried to seduce him. She said, why don't you lay down and go to bed with me? And the Bible says he wouldn't even be with her, be seen with her. And Scripture makes it very clear. And here is one man that God used. Why? Because of his obedience. And see, here's the reality. The power of one godly life. Now, there's more than one of us here. There's a number of us here. But here's the reality. One godly life. God says it over and over and over and over again. And when you've got one godly life coupled with another godly life, coupled with another godly life, coupled with another godly life, those individuals can affect heaven and earth. God wants you and me to understand that that is the reality. That is the truth. Listen. God didn't say Moses or didn't say Elijah, Noah, you go find about 50 other righteous people and I'll hear all of your prayers together. Didn't say Joseph, you find about 25 other righteous and you all get together as a committee and have prayer. Their individual righteous life impacted the earth. And yours can too. If you're living righteously, you will impact your home. That's just the way it is. You know why? Because God will listen to your prayers. Why, there's a lot of individuals who, there's a lot of people who are praying, but they're not being righteous. They're not wanting to walk pure and clean and holy before God. And then fourthly and last, you got Moses' righteous life. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 19, listen to this one verse. This verse has meant a great deal to me. This is Moses. He's standing before God on behalf of the nation of Israel. I was afraid of the anger and the hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. In other words, Moses is saying God was angry at you. God was angered at your disobedience. But listen to what Moses says in the last part. But the Lord listened to me. He hearkened to me at that time also. In other words, what Moses said is this. Here is the God of heaven. He turned his ear to me. And because I prayed for you, he rescued you. What would you do if you literally, really believed that your praying would absolutely lead another person to faith in Jesus Christ? How would you pray then to, if you knew that you knew that you knew that you knew, if I pray seriously, God will move that person and they will come to repentance, they will come to confession, and they will come to faith in Christ. You see, here's what we do. We have meager prayers with meager results and see meager things happen. But the Bible says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. Let us come boldly. What that means is come boldly, come anticipating, come expecting, come serious. And you see, where there is a bold man or woman praying boldly before a bold and loving and caring God, they are going to have bold answers. They're going to see God move heaven and earth for them. That's why you see some people, they don't have anything happen in their life. They very few things are happening. I guess God's all out of his blessings. All of a sudden over here, there's somebody praying and God is moving heaven and earth. Why? Because God honors bold praying. And you see, Joseph's righteous life, God looked at his life. God looked at his life and God honored his life. And the Bible makes it very clear that God absolutely moved heaven and earth. Four simple men. Four men made just like you and me. You have Elijah. You have Noah. You have Joseph. And you have Moses. But here's the reality. Here's what they knew. They knew that if they meant business with God, he would mean business with them. The power of one person's godly life changes the world. When I get to heaven, I'm going to thank Noah for being godly. Why? You and I are spared. Think about it. The world was at the edge of existence. Only one man on the face of the earth God would listen to. Sobering, isn't it? To think that God wasn't listening to anybody else, but God listened. God looked and God watched one solitary life. And James draws this conclusion. He said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. You know what that means? Don't matter your age. You're 15, you're 14, you're 13. You want to see God move in your home, you get on your knees and you watch God do it. You say, well, I don't know how it all happens. You just get on your knees and you start praying and you watch. You get on your knees for your coworker and you watch God move. You get on your knees for your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your mom, your dad, and you watch God move. But here's what we won't do. We say, well, I'm not seeing God move. Have you been on your knees for them? Have you been on your face for them? Have you cried out to God for their life? Who would you pray for? What would you ask for if you knew God said, I'm going to hear you. I'm going to answer you. How would you pray? And Father, we thank you so much for your divine truth, your divine word. Oh, Father, may I realize afresh, you're looking for godly life. You're looking for a righteous life, a life that is serious with you. And Lord, where there's a teenager who believes that, you'll move heaven and earth for them. Where there's a 20-year-old, 25-year-old, where there's a 70, 80-year-old who believe that, and they want to walk righteous. For Lord, you have declared it as a truth of your word. There's power in one single godly life. Father, we're not left as victims. We can get on our knees and literally shatter the gates of hell. We can get on our face before you and in boldness, and hell can't stand that. The devil don't like it. But you will listen. And oh, Father, I pray that you would move tonight in whatever way is pleasing to you. Maybe there's a life that needs to repent. There's a life that needs to come to Christ. Your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus I pray. Amen.